Well, that's a deep question, and of course there are some people trying to bridge that every day. Richard Dawkins, for example, has specialized in trying to communicate to the public some of the richer and more complex ideas of biology. I suppose its rightful place is really as a method of approaching problems, as a method of learning about causal relationships among things. And so, coming back to your example of the newspaper, politics is often about prediction. It's about predicting whether people will be better off more cheaply with a different healthcare system than we have today. It's not a question that can be answered with a high degree of confidence, but you want to triangulate every source of information you have at your disposal. Some of those sources are scientific sources, what we learn empirically and epidemiologically about disease. Others are more sociological factors, how people make decisions about their health care on the basis of what other people are doing in the neighborhood and the basis about of the way they feel about their future as a function of their particular economic circumstances. So I suppose that at some level, so much of what we encounter in the area of regulation generally and political decision making frequently reduces to scientific questions. Now, obviously, not all of them do. I mean, politics of the Middle East, for example, is not a question of the right scientific experiment, which is going to definitively resolve whether this piece of soil belongs to one person or another. Those are questions beyond scientific investigation, but they're still susceptible of empirical investigation. You know, what do people believe? Why do they believe it? I mean, these are ultimately answerable questions.
So, just to press you on that rightful place thing, are you saying that the rightful place of science, I'm not putting words in your mouth, is more of a way of thinking than a way of delivering judgments? Or
I suppose that's a very fair way of putting it. It's a way of thinking. I think law, of course, also is training a way of thinking. I encourage our students to know what hat they're wearing and to be able to take off that hat and wear another hat. So, for example, legal analysis is a very useful way of thinking about a lot of problems, but it's not the only way. It doesn't help you resolve arguments with your spouse, for example, right? In the same way, I would say we have to know what hat we're wearing at any given time, and hopefully this hat is increasingly a synthetic one that includes perspectives from a variety of different disciplines. But we don't want to imagine with hubris that wearing the science hat is going to solve most of our problems, or wearing the economics hat is going to solve most of our problems. But we want to be schooled in the way in which science approaches the world, with rigorous hypothesis testing, asking questions that can be investigated through the best controlled experiments that you could run, or in the natural world, the best understanding and investigation empirically of what's actually happening as sort of natural experiments in the world today. The United States is a laboratory of 50 jurisdictions doing things differently. Could we imagine a world in which they did that in a more rigorously empirical way, in which different jurisdictions say, well, you try this for a while, see what happens, we'll try that for a while, and then we'll get together and compare notes. Personally, having both a scientific and a lawyer's hat on at the moment, I'd love to see more sort of top-down planning for designed investigation of these sorts of phenomena. Now we do that in a very haphazard way, sort of a trial and error sort of way. But I imagine this is an area in which a greater forethought could bring perhaps to greater results.